السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على حبيب إله العالمين الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. I'm very grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this opportunity to be with you, my dear brothers and sisters, for this great occasion, the anniversary martyrdom of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. Which is coincided with early spearing, and which is coincided with the beginning of new year according to solar calendar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to get close to Him and to be given better understanding of Ahlul Bayt. For all of us, especially for all brothers and sisters who are celebrating the solar new year, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us to step forward towards more rationality, more spirituality, more peace and justice, with the barakah of salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I was thinking of the topic to share with you for this great occasion, the martyrdom of the Bibi. I was reviewing her statements, lectures, and du'as, and I thought it might be better to ponder on some of the du'as of the lady, because I think there are profound teachings, moral, spiritual, theological, social, political, from all aspects, profound teachings in the words, especially in the du'as of the Bibi, salamullahi alayha. There is a du'a narrated by the Bibi, which is known to the du'a of ayyam, the days of the week. From Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, up to Sunday. Every day has got its own du'as. I know most of you, hopefully all of you, are familiar with the du'as of the days of the week. There are many du'as which have been narrated and which are mentioned in the riwayat. This one specifically is mentioned by Bibi Salamullahi Alayha. She used to recite these du'as during the days of the week. The du'a I have selected for you to discuss and to ponder upon for this great occasion is the du'a for Tuesday. After tomorrow, Tuesday is going to be the martyrdom of the Bibi. It's better to ponder on the du'a of the Tuesday to see what is the du'a of the Tuesday by the lady. The du'a reads as the following: Allahumma ja'al ghaflata an-nasi lana dhikra waj'al dhikrahum lana shukra waj'al salaha ma naqulu bi al-sinatina fihi niyatan fi qulubina Allahumma inna maghfiratak أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ووفقنا لصالح الأعمال والصواب من الفعال رسالة الصلوات بليز Let me translate the dua of the lady for Tuesdays. Inshallah, if you like the dua, I'm sure all of you, inshallah, would like the dua. You can write it down and sometimes try to memorize it or try to recite it on Tuesdays. Allahumma ja'al ghaflata an-nasi lana dhikra. Oh Allah, ordain the ignorance, heedlessness, and forgetfulness of people for us as an opportunity for dhikr, for remembrance. وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا And put their remembrance, their dhikr for us, shukra, an opportunity to be thankful. وَجْعَلْ صَالِحَ مَا نَقُولْ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا نِيَّةً فِي قُلُوبِنَا And give us this tawfiq that whatever good things that we say with our tongues نِيَّةً فِي قُلُوبِنَا to be linked strongly to our intention in our hearts. اللهم إن مغفرتك أرجى أوسع من ذنوبنا أو الله Your forgiveness is more expansive, is greater than our sins. ورحمتك أرجى من أعمالنا أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا And your rahmah, your mercy is more hoped than our good أعمال, our good deeds. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ووفقنا لصالح الأعمال Give us the tawfiq to do صالح الأعمال the good deeds والصواب من الأفعال ومن الفعال and righteous deeds This is the translation I tried to translate it in a way which seems to be more understandable If you're familiar with Arabic language morphology, syntax with Arabic language in general, still you will find the dua a bit difficult to be translated. Still you would struggle in understanding the dua. So I read it sentence by sentence and try to have more contemplation on it. Allahumma ja'al ghaflatan nasi lana dhikra. Oh Allah. So if I want to translate it, word by word, it would be like this. Allahumma ja'al, oh Allah, put, or ordain, ghaflat al-nas, the ghafla, heedlessness of people, lana for us, dhikra, as a remembrance, dhikr. What does it mean? The heedlessness, forgetfulness, ignorance of people, make us that as a dhikr for us. We have been created with a fitra, with a nature, God-given nature, which is called, in the terminology of the Quran, fitra. Fitrat Allah التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. This is the kind of divine creation according to which all humans have been created. لا تبديل لخلق الله. And there's no change, alteration in this خلق. And this type of creation, which is a combination of divine nature, ونفخت في من روحي, and also a material nature. خلقته من طين. I created human being from clay. Mixture of body and soul and spirit. Fitrah as defined by Mufassaroon and Mutakallimoon, exegetes and theologians, is like a light which is given to all human beings at birth. by which everyone can find his or her own path, right path. Inna hadaynahu as-sabeel. We guided human being. Imma shakaran. They go either the right way, they may follow the light, wa imma kafura, or they may cover the light and they go towards kufr. We have been created. But Quran tells us that إِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَآيَاتِنَا بِآيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. Most of the people, with regards to our ayat, manifest and clear signs, لَغَافِلُونَ. They're heedless, forgetful. The Quran doesn't say most of them deny. It's very delicate wording. It says لغافلون. They are heedless. Because of emphasis on dunya and the apparent face of this dunya, then gradually the light of fitrah, the God-given nature, would be covered. This is being heedless. Heedlessness, ghafla. So Allah is forgotten. When Allah is forgotten, the person himself and herself would be forgotten. Law. Quran says, don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تكونوا من الذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم. Don't be among those who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فأنساهم أنفسهم. Then Allah makes them to forget themselves. They forget themselves. In some of the ayat, it mentions clearly that heedlessness or ignorance, or forgetfulness. It's not forgetfulness. Nisyan technically is forgetfulness. It's better to translate as heedlessness. Heedlessness is the outcome of a superficial approach to the creation, to dunya, to the universe. In ayah number 7 of Surah Rum, Allah says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ. They know only some apparent features of the dunya. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ لَغَافِلُونَ. With respect to the akhirah, to the hereafter, they're heedless. What does it mean? It means that only seeing the apparent face of this dunya would lead you to be heedless of the akhirah, of the inner reality of this dunya, which is the hereafter. According to one of the teachers, he said that from this ayah, we can understand that akhirah, or hereafter, is the inner reality of this dunya. Because the Quran says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know only this apparent feature of this dunya. عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ غَافِلُونَ. With respect to the akhirah, they're heedless. So, when you are heedless to the akhirah, you know only the apparent feature of this dunya. You would be heedless towards the inner reality, to the deeper reality of the dunya. Again, the Quran says, غَافِلُونَ. But this ghafla, this heedlessness, may lead and can lead, as historical evidence show, as the ayat of the Quran state, may lead to the denial, to istikbar, rejection, to rebel against the manifest ayat of Allah. Again, 3 verses later, in the same surah, Rum, verse number 10, Allah says, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ asa'u su'a and kadhabu bi ayatillah, then the outcome, aqiba, of those who committed su'a, sins, the outcome was and kadhabu bi ayatillah, they denied. It's not being forgetful, it's not being heedless, it's not being ignorant, no. Kadhabu, they denied, they rejected the signs of Allah. So ghafla, according to the Quran, most people are living in the environment, which is the environment of ghafla. And alhamdulillah, there are many, many things nowadays in the dunya to help people to go deep in that state of heedlessness, ghafla. All manifestations of these new technologies, things. I'm not denying the virtues of the new technologies and the advances, but they got that high potential to help people to be entangled in the world of heedlessness, ghafla. So most of the people are heedless. The first sentence, let's go back to the sentence of the PP. Allahumma ja'al ghaflatan nasi lana dhikra. Oh Allah, give us this tawfiq that take us lesson, benefit from the ghafla of people. Now most people according to the Quran are heedless. Give us this tawfiq that we can benefit from this heedlessness. What kind of benefit we can get? Dhikra. As a remind, as a remembrance, as a dhikr. Dhikr in two ways, the way I understand this sentence. In two ways. One way is to be reminded of my own heedlessness. To be reminded of my own shortcomings. To be reminded of my own faults, sins, wrongs. Do you know why? Because most of the time, we may not notice our own shortcomings if we don't compare ourselves with others. Do you know why? Because of hubb al-dhat, because of self-love. Human beings, because self-love is again one of the manifestations of that fitrah. We love ourselves. And according to most of the theologians, not of course mystics, because some mystics, they got different opinion. According to most of the philosophers and theologians, self-love could not be removed completely. Even some scholars, they say, it might be not desirable to remove, to go against self-love. But it has to be directed. It has to be channeled. Hubb al-dhat. Because of hubb al-dhat, because of self-love, which is one of the manifestations of that fitrah in human beings, because we love ourselves, we don't notice our own faults. Exactly in the way that the lover, the aashiq, wouldn't notice the faults of the beloved. حب الشيء يعمي ويصم. The love of something or somebody, يعمي ويصم, would make you blind. You don't see the faults of the beloved. ويصم. You don't hear the wrongs from the beloved. So now let's say, we love ourselves. Most of the time, naturally, we don't notify our own faults. But when we see that fault, that heedlessness in others, it could be as a remind, as a remembrance. Allahumma ja'al ghaflatan nasi lana dhikra. Oh Allah, give us this tawfiq, to take lesson from the heedlessness of the environment, of people, and nas, people, all of them. At least to be reminded of our own shortcomings and faults. Dhikr, this is the one meaning of dhikr. Another meaning of dhikr, which is mentioned in the Quran, which is a profound concept of the Quran, is dhikrullah, remembering Allah. Oh Allah, give me tawfiq to get benefit of the heedlessness of people, to remind you, to have your remembrance, your dhikr, by remembering my own faults, shortcomings, by knowing myself better, to remind you, to remember you. To remember you. To go towards your remembrance. What is dhikr? I don't want to talk deeply. I think you can find many lectures on the concept of dhikr in the Quran. Dhikr, if we consider many ayat of the Quran which talk about dhikr, remembrance, some of them they say, أقم الصلاة لذكري, do your salat because of my dhikr, because of my remembrance. So one of the philosophies, goals of salat is لذكري, to acquire my remembrance. Dhikr is a constantly refreshing feeling of being present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or presence of heart. Constantly refreshing attention of heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the ulama of Islam divided dhikr into two kinds. Dhikr al-lafzi, verbal one, and dhikr al-qalbi, and qalb, dhikr of qalb. And dhikr of the heart is a refreshing attention of heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give me this tawfiq to take the opportunity from the heedlessness of people as a way to remember you, to get close to you, to renew my heart attention to you. This is the first piece of this dua. The second sentence says, وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا. And make their dhikr, the dhikr, the remembrance of people, lana, for us, shukra, as a shukr. What does that mean? So we understood to some degree, I'm not saying this is the deep meaning of the statement of the Bibi, to the level that I understand, we understood the first sentence, but what is second one, وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا, and make their remembrance, the remembrance of people, for us as a shukr, as thankfulness, gratefulness. It may mean in this way, that we not only pay attention to ourselves, we are not arrogant, mutakabbir, to be following only our own benefits in the dunya, even from the heedless of the environment of people, even from the heedless environment and the heedlessness of the people. We want to take admonition, dhikr, advice, lesson from the environment which is marked by heatlessness, but this is not the end of the story. We want to have good hopes, wishes for people. We have to go towards reminding people of the remembrance of Allah, of their own heedlessness. Then the sentence says, "Oh Allah, I want to be grateful, thankful, happy to see the society, the environment which comes to remember you, which comes towards remembrance. وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا." Give me this tawfiq to take lesson, and give me this tawfiq to help the society, the environment, to get them out of the state of heedlessness, and make them reminded of the inner reality of the dunya, the akhirah. And as a result, I would be shakir, shukran. This is a shukr. So three environments the lady is talking about. One environment is the environment or the society or community of ghafla. The second one is the environment of dhikr, remembrance. And the third environment in this dua, which is for the brothers and sisters who came late, the dua of Sayyidah Zahra Salamullahi Alayha, which she used to recite on Tuesdays. We are recommended to recite the dua on Tuesdays. The third category of the environment according to the star is the environment of shukr, thankfulness. وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا. When do we do shukr? When we are pioneers. When we are imams, inviters, leaders towards dhikr. In the dua of iftitah, we read as the following, that when we say, in the last piece of the dua of iftitah, which is recited at the nights of the month of Ramadan, when we say about the dawla kareema of the imam, the honorable state and government of al-imam al-mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we say waj'alna fiha min ad-du'at ila ta'atik. Give us this tawfiq not to be a normal members of this government of the dawla of the dawla kareema, honorable dawla. وَجْعَلْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِكَ. Give us this honor, this opportunity to be leaders towards your worship. وَالْقَادَةِ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِكَ. And make us leaders in this way. So the first sentence is a kind of individual benefit which we can bet, everyone can benefit from heedless society. The second one is that the social duty of each of these mu'mineen who are taking lesson from the heedlessness of the environment, that they have to remind people, they have to help people to get this remembrance, to get out of that state of heedlessness, and to be thankful. وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا. This is the adab. This is the way that Bibi Salamullah Alayha looks at human interaction, human communication, social and individual. It's narrated that at her last moments, she had some du'as. One of the du'as of the lady is this one. Ilahi wa Sayyidi, Bibi Zahra salamullahi alayha says, Sayyidi, my Lord, as'aluka billadheena astafaytahum. I ask you for the right of those who have been chosen by you. Wa bibuka'i waladi, and because of the cry of my children. Fi mufaraqati, in my departure from this dunya. An taghfira li'usat shi'ati, to forgive the sinners of our Shia. Wa Shia dhurriyati, and the Shias and the followers of my progeny, Madhuri. The last moment of her life is doing dua for the followers of her and the followers of her progeny. Another one he says again, which has been mentioned, that she said before her departure, Shi'atuna min khiyar ahlil jannah. Our Shia are from the good members, the chosen, selected members of the people of Jannah, paradise. Wa kulli muhibbina, those who love us. Wa muwali awliya'ina, and the friends of our friends, lovers of our lovers. Wa mu'adi a'da'ina, and the enemies of our enemies. Wal muslim biqalbihi wa lisanihi lana, and those who are Muslim, submissive. بِقَلْبِهِ وَبِلِسَانِهِ, those who accept us both by tongue and both by qalb. This is the way that Bibi Salamullah Alayha talks about in this dua. This is the positive approach to humans, to the Shias. وَاجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا. The lesson we can take from this piece of dua is that it's wrong, brothers and sisters, to hope unpleasant, bad things for those who are heedless. Even for all people, for all societies, communities. Why we should wish bad things? We have bad wishes for them. What's wrong in having best wishes for all human beings? What's wrong in having hope in guiding the whole generation of human beings, of all societies, towards light and guidance? What's wrong in becoming happy when a society, any society, when the members of any society become mu'min, get out of the state of heedlessness? What's wrong with that? Even if a non-Muslim society, what's wrong in having hope, in expressing our best wishes for their guidance? Not only expressing wishes, but also being active, doing something for guiding them towards guidance. Not, of course, not only by words, but also by actions. Let's go back to the dua. وَجْعَلْ ذِكْرَهُمْ لَنَا شُكْرًا وَجْعَلْ صَالِحَ مَا نَقُولْ بِأَلْسِنَتْنَا نِيَّةً فِي قُلُوبِنَا. Oh Allah, اجْعَلْ صَالِحَ مَا نَقُولْ, make the best of our words ما نقول بألسناتنا, whatever we say by our tongues, نية في قلوبنا. Make that to have a link to our نية, intention in our hearts. The society of the thankful people, the environment of thankfulness, جامعة الشكر, this should be the quality of جامعة الشكر, of the community of the thankful people, that there should be a strong link between what is expressed by the tongue and what is hidden in the heart. So as a result of this being thankful, because of the remembrance of Allah, of the people, dhikrahum, because of the guidance of people, then give us this strong connection between the heart and tongue. Let me tell you a story. The late Ayatollah Naraghi, in his book Taqdis, mentions a good story. It might be an imaginary story, but it's got good hint in it. He says in his book that once there was a worker, normal youth, young man, he was a worker, and once the man sees the daughter of the king in a place and falls in love with the daughter. The man was very quite poor, from quite a poor family. Goes back to his mother, who was working for the vizier of that king, and tells the story to the mother and says that I've fallen in love with the daughter of the king, and you're working for the vizier of that king, and you may do something. The mother goes to the vizier and raises the issue with the vizier, and vizier says, okay, let me think about this and see what can I do for that. The vizier, after thinking, says to that young man, says that you have to go to that cave, which was a bit away from the city, and pretend to be a worshipper. And they agreed something between themselves, the vizier and the young boy. And he said that I'm going to take the king to the cave to see you, but what you're going to do, you have to, so that the king would be interested in seeing you, but you have to reject, and then I have to come inside and insist and intercede, and then finally you have to accept to see the king, and then you can go and marry the daughter of that king. That was the plan that the vizier thought about. The young man went into the cave, and then it took a while that the vizier told some people in the city that it is said that there is a very mystic, very pious man in a cave near the city, and he's mustajab al-da'wa, and his du'as is all the time answered, and he's that pious. It's a very great mystic. And this news reaches the king. The king asks about the vizier, about the existence of the young man, and the vizier says that, yes, I've heard that there's a man which is mustajab al-da'wa living in that cave, but I'm not sure how. Is it true that the man is that pious or not? The king says that, you know that I don't have any son, any boy, and I would like to have, and let's go to that man and ask him to pray for us, because his mustajab al-dawa, his prayer is not going to be rejected, so I'll have a son, inshallah. They go to the cave, and the king asks for permission to see the worshipper who was pretending to be a worshipper in the cave, who was the lover of the daughter of the king, and the young man rejected. So many times he said he asked for the permission and the young man rejected. Again, the vizier went inside the cave and asked for permission, he rejected. He asked for many times and he rejected. Then they went back, and then the day after that, the vizier came and said, "What did you do? We had an agreement that when I come inside and ask you, you should have given us permission. You ruined the whole plan." And the young man says that, "I was pretending to be a worshipper. I was not honest. Because of that kind of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the king to come and to visit me. If I had worshipped Allah honestly, what would have happened?" That was the power that pretending to be a worshipper that had that much effect. So let's imagine that if I was worshipping Allah honestly, what would have happened? No, I don't want that one. I found my true love. So that might be an imaginary. The link between the heart and the tongue. وَجْعَلْ صَالِحَ مَا نَقُولْ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا. Make the right words which we express with our tongue, نِيَّةً فِي قُلُوبِنَا, have a root in our intention deep inside our hearts. Allahumma inna maghfiratika awsa' min dhunubina. O Allah, your maghfirah, your forgiveness is awsa', is greater, more expansive than our sins. Wa rahmataka arja 'indana min a'malina, and your rahmah is arja, more hoped than our a'mal. What's the relation between these two sentences and the previous? Maybe I can connect it in this way. Oh Allah, if we were in the community, in the environment, which is the environment of the heedless people, then Allah, in this case, إِنَّ مَغْفِرَتَكَ أَوْسَعْ مِن ذُنُوبِنَا, your maghfirah is أَوْسَعْ, more greater. Again, showing a very positive, encouraging, touching image of Allah. إِنَّ مَغْفِرَتَكَ, if I was being heedless, your maghfirah is أَوْسَعْ. Not arrogant, not going against intentionally, rebelling against, disobeying the commands of Allah. Being heedless. Oh Allah, if I was being heedless, this is my interpretation of the statement, إِنَّ مَغْفِرَتَكَ, your مَغْفِرَةَ أَوْسَى, is greater. مِنْ ذُنُوبِنَا, I know that my ذَنْب, I know that my sins are great, but my understanding of you is that your maghfirah is greater, is bigger than my ma'asiyah. Now, the second sentence, وَرَحْمَتَكَ أَرْجَى عِنْدَنَا مِنْ أَعْمَالِنَا, if I was being in the community of the remembrance, if I was one of the people of dhikr, ahl of dhikr, the second community, environment we talked this tonight, wa rahmata, I don't rely on my remembrance of you. I don't rely on my own good deeds. Wa rahmataka arja, your rahmah, your mercy is more hoped, is more hopeful. Indana min a'malina, because we've got two wings to fly towards the horizons of spirituality. One is the wing of khawf, fear, being afraid of our own a'mal. One wing is the wing of Raja, a hope, being hopeful to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the lady says, even if I was one of the people of remembrance, I don't rely on that, I don't count on that. وَرَحْمَتَكَ, my hope, my true hope is your rahmah, is your merciful, that you say, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسَعَدْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, because your rahmah covers all things. Similar to this statement we've got in other du'as, for example, in Munajat Shabaniya we read, إِلَهِ إِن كُنْتُ غَيْرَ مُسْتَحِلٍ لَرَحْمَتِكَ فَأَنْتَ أَهْلٌ أَنْ تَجُودَ عَلَيَّ بِفَضْلِ سَعَتِكَ. Oh Allah, if I'm not qualified to be included within the circle community of people who are included with your rahmah, فَأَنْتَ أَهْلٌ, you are qualified, you deserve to include me in that community, in the circle of your mercy. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ووفقنا لصالح الأعمال والصواب من الفعال. So in conclusion, we said that one of the du'as which has been narrated from Lady Zahra صلّى الله عليها, اللهم صل على محمد, is the du'a for the ayyam of the week, for the days of the week, and this du'a specifically is recommended to be recited on Tuesdays, في يوم الثلاثة, and this du'a covers good insights, teachings regarding our approach to ourselves, to the environment of heedlessness, the environment of dhikr, and the environment of shukr. So three main concepts the lady discusses, mentions in a very elegant and at the same time brief and concise statement in this du'a. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. Allahumma kulli waliyyikal حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.